pissy, pissmongering, fucking pisspot of the damned.
Misanthrope Radio.
International cream corn fuck headery.
Misanthrope Radio.
Simply a dirty Jew.
Misanthrope Radio.
And as the young man knew full well, chicken fried steak couldn't fuck back. All it could do was be delicious.
Misanthrope Radio starts now. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of Misanthrope Radio. As it turns out, I think I may be in the market for a new arch nemesis. You know, I watched a movie a long time ago with Peter Falk in it, and I don't expect you to know who the fuck Peter Falk is. Why would you? He was an old actor. His claim to fame, I think, was a TV show called Columbo, where he played some fucking detective who acted like he didn't know what he was doing and then all of a sudden fucking got it together at the end of the episode in order to apprehend the suspect. But I remember watching a movie one time, and it was one of those fucking movies from back when we actually watched real television with commercials and nothing was on demand. And I remember watching this movie because it just happened to be on. And I have no memory of the movie other than this one fucking thing. Peter Falk's character fucking hated Albanians. He fucking hated them. He hated the shit out of some fucking Albanians. And anytime any fucking body brought up Albanians, he would just go on a fucking rant. And again, this has been 30 years ago. 25, 30 years ago. I don't know how long. Long fucking time. So my recollection of the severity of Peter Falk's character's hatred of the Albanians may be a little bit skewed. Maybe the last 25 years has fucking made it more extreme than it actually was. But I say that to say, in my mind, Peter Falk's character in that fucking movie that I can't remember anything about, but his character hated some fucking Albanians, and he hated the shit out of them. It got brought up somehow in the movie about why he fucking hated Albanians so much, and he said, you have to hate someone. So for him, it's the Albanians. That has stuck with me all these years. Just that one part, just that one piece of that fucking movie with that lazy-eyed fucking weirdo Peter Falk, just that one bit where I vaguely remember him screaming and ranting about fucking Albanians and how much he hates them. And then when pressed about why he fucking hates the Albanians so much, he said, you gotta hate somebody. And I'm not going to say I've taken it to heart, but I understand all these years later why he said you have to have someone to hate. I don't necessarily have to have an entire racial group of people to hate. But I guess if you're going to fucking hate a racial group, why not the Albanians? But I have chosen someone to be my arch nemesis. His name is Corky. It's not his actual name, but I talked about him in Season 1 of Misanthrope Radio and how much I fucking hate Corky. I fucking hate him. I fucking hate Corky. I fucking hate him. He's a piece of shit who works at the fucking gas station down the road from my house. But I have chosen Corky to be my arch nemesis. Why, you may ask? Why would an accomplished person like me choose a fucking piece of shit gas station attendant to be their arch nemesis? In my mind, I had him built up to be something that he simply, I don't believe, has turned out to be. I thought that there was no way that anyone in the world could be that big of a piece of shit, honestly. You see what I'm saying? I felt like it was an act. In my mind, I had it built up to where he's some kind of fucking legit supervillain who is disguising himself as a piece of shit who works at a fucking gas station. That's how I had it built up in my mind. We had that one incident where he rolled his eyes at me when I asked him to put my shit in a bag, and he and I have been at each other's throats ever since, more me at his throat than he at mine. In fairness, I am the aggressor in this relationship. So maybe I am the supervillain and Corky is not. I don't fucking know. All I know is that now I think I'm in the market for a new arch nemesis. I think Corky no longer meets the criteria.
It's actually kind of fucking sad, because I saw Corky today. I stopped down at the convenience store to pick a couple fucking things up, and Corky was there. And he and I have kind of a fucking weird relationship now, where when I walk in, he fucking basically kind of jumps to attention, because he knows now, since I'm in the building, every move he makes is under scrutiny, and if he does anything out of line or fucking untoward, I'm going to be on him like flies on shit. When I say it like that, it's fairly obvious that I'm the fucking aggressor in this relationship, and the animosity, I think, does not go both ways. I think Corky just wants to be left alone. But anyway, I walk in the building tonight, and Corky's there, and he's kind of leaned over, doing his kind of palm on the side of his pockmarked, disgusting, fucking greasy face, slovenly fucking side lean thing that he does, while waiting to be forced to do his job by somebody who wants to pay for their shit. I walk in and I notice that something is off with Corky almost immediately. He does not spring to attention like he normally does, and stand to ready to be fucking ridiculed, or at least have to defend himself against one of my verbal attacks. He instead kind of lazily shifts his eyes to the door to see who's walking in, sees me. There's a flash of recognition, sort of, that's a little bit delayed, and then he just settles back into his I'm a fucking complete piece of shit lean onto the counter. Okay, well, maybe Corky's having a fucking bad day. So I proceed to go and get the things that I need to get, and I head up to the fucking counter, where I promptly greet Corky. Ah, look who it is. It's my old buddy Corky. Now, his name's not Corky. It never was. It's never been a nickname of his. It's not something that anyone has ever called him but me. And I know now that his actual name is, I don't remember, Steve or say, it doesn't fucking matter. Honestly, who gives a shit what his fucking name is? But I know now that his name is not actually Corky. So now that he has told me that his name is not Corky and I refer to him as Corky, it's just a fucking another shot. You know what I mean? It's another nail in the fucking coffin. It's another fucking stab. It's another fucking poke in Corky's eye. He's a piece of shit. He's my arch nemesis. Fuck him. Don't feel sorry for that motherfucker. I'm telling you, he's earned every bit of fucking heat that he gets from me through piss poor customer service and weird fucking posture and the way he wears his clothes and his fucking pockmarked appearance. And the fact that he obviously doesn't wash his hair very often. And the fact that he clearly only owns one pair of fucking jeans and wears them every day. And the fact that he looks like that fucking guy from Star Wars Episode 4 in the cantina scene, who said that they're wanted men and they have the death sentence in 12 systems. And the fact that one time he rolled his eyes at me when I asked for a bag. And the fact that the next time I went in there, he slapped the bag open resentfully because he recognized me being in the building and didn't want another tongue lashing like he got the time before. But you fuck, you listen, I don't have to fucking justify why I hate Corky to you, motherfucker. Just accept that what I'm saying as an upstanding member of the fucking community is that Corky's a piece of shit, okay? Fuck. I'm tired of having to defend my hatred of Corky to people. God damn it. Anyway. So I notice something's wrong with him, and I greet him. Ah, my old friend Corky. He doesn't even fucking flinch. He doesn't even barely move. He just kind of fucking shifts his eyes up, rolls his eyes, I guess is the best way to say it, up to meet mine, and then slowly starts the process of straightening his body up so he can perform his duties as the fucking clerk at the gas station. I noticed something was wrong with him the moment I walked in. I observed him as I was moving through the store and had my suspicions confirmed. Corky was not the same Corky as just a few weeks ago. There was something fucking going on with him. And then when I get up to the counter and I greet him using the name that I have given him, his pet name, Corky, he doesn't even fucking flinch. There's something definitely fucking wrong. And then the way he rolled his eyes up to look at me, to meet my eyes, and the way he slowly straightened his body up like he's a machine coming to life after being dormant for a time. Something's wrong with Corky. This will never do. So I go ahead and buy my shit, complete the transaction. All through the transaction, he is moving at fucking turtle pace. Every movement is labored, like it's just taking a maximum effort, like it's taking so much out of him. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, "Dude, are you okay?" And he looks up at me and he goes, "What do you care?" And that one comment from Corky and the way he said it kind of gave me pause. Why do I care? Honestly, why do I fucking care about Corky? And I found myself standing there after the transaction, kind of staring off into space for a moment, because he's right. Why do I care? Why do I care what kind of fucking day Corky's having? I've never cared before. As a matter of fact, I've gone out of my way to ensure that Corky has bad days once I leave. In the past, he'd be bebopping around that fucking fueling station, living his life, mopping the floor and fucking changing out toilet paper and ringing up customers badly. I would fucking hit the door and I would immediately fucking start in on him and tell him what a piece of shit he is. I've gone out of my way to ensure that Corky has bad days. I've reveled in it. I've driven away before, most times actually, feeling a sense of satisfaction that that motherfucker was in one mood when I got there and in a completely fucking different mood when I left. I have taken pride in my verbal and emotional abuse of that fucking piece of shit that works at that gas station. So when I asked him, "Dude, are you okay?" And he said, "What do you care?" With that dopey fucking downtrodden terminal loser fucking weird ass cadence and voice of his, it stopped me dead in my fucking tracks. Because he's right. Why do I care? I've never cared in the past. Why do I care now? And so, like I said, I found myself staring off into space, running all of the shit that I just fucking said for you through my head. Why do I care? He's exactly right. I don't fucking care. Historically speaking, I want him to have a bad day. So why does this particular day bother me? So I walk out the door to the gas station without another word, still lost in thought, kind of mind blown by that exchange with Corky, and I'm heading towards my truck. And the whole time I'm walking, I'm thinking to myself, I'm really focused on it, actually. Why do I care? Why do I fucking care? He's right. Why do I care? But I do care. And it's nagging at me. It's bothering me. Do I care that Corky's demeanor has changed so dramatically because deep down in my core, I want Corky to have a good life? No, that's not it. Fuck out of here. Fuck Corky. I don't care if he has a good life. Do I care because on a basic human level, I don't like to see people who outwardly appear to be just suddenly and completely broken? That could be it. So I start running through my head, what did I notice about Corky? Aside from the fucking shit posture and pockmarked face and general overall uncleanliness, what else did I fucking notice about Corky? He smelled bad, but he always kind of smells bad. But today, he smelled like really old cigarettes and a lot of them. So that tells me he's either been living in a very small space that he smokes in, that checks out because he is a piece of shit, or he's been chain smoking for days without bathing. All of that leads me to think, okay, maybe his wife finally wisened up and left his stupid, broke, dumb shit ass. But I remember noticing that that fucking ring was still on his finger because it was the only thing on him that was clean and shiny. So maybe not. And before it even registered what I was doing, I had dropped the shit that I'd bought off in my truck, and I was headed back into the gas station to talk to Corky. Thankfully, at this time of day, it was not very busy in there, and there was another fucking clerk running around in there who could take over cash register duties for Corky. I walked in the door and immediately looked at Corky, who had resumed his slumped over, leaning, fucking I'm a complete low rent piece of shit position at the cash register. I said, "Hey bro, don't you think it's time to change the trash bags out here at the gas pumps? Some of them look pretty full." He gets up, tells his coworker he's going outside, grabs a cigarette, puts it behind his ear, scoops up a roll of trash bags, and walks outside. I'm two steps behind him. We get out there to the gas pumps, and he immediately starts changing out the fucking trash bags. And I step around in front of him, and I said, "Hey, Corky, let me talk to you a minute." And he goes, "Okay." I said, "What's the matter with you, dude? You're not your normal vivacious fucking self. What's going on here?" And he stops, and his shoulders kind of slump, and his head kind of cocks to the side, and he looks up at me with this dopey fucking look on his face, and he goes, "I fell off the wagon." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I fell off the fucking wagon, dude. I'm back on the shit." And I was like, "You're fucking back on drugs? After all of the bullshit that you've been through, now you're back on drugs. With everything else that you don't have going for you, now you're fucking back on drugs. What are you doing?" He goes, "I don't know what just happened, and now I can't fucking stop. But I'm really fucking upset because the next time my parole officer fucking UAs me, which I guess means your analysis, I'm gonna go back to fucking prison." I was like, "So let me see if I got this right, Corky." And he kind of stiffened this time when I used my pet name for him. "You did a fucking stint in the can for being a shithead drug abuser. You get out. You're doing your thing at this fucking job that you hate with the goal in mind of getting back to concrete work. You've got your wife and your kids, right? And you're providing for them badly. And you're not doing a great job here at this job, but that's because your heart's not in it. And you're but you're super fucking proud of how you've kept off the shit. And now you're back on the fucking drugs." And he looks at me, and his tears kind of fucking start welling up in his eyes. And he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, that about sums it up." And I was like, "Jesus fucking Christ, bro. Just when I thought you couldn't be any more of a fucking loser." And I turned around and started walking towards my truck. And then I turned right the fuck back around and walked towards him. I got right up in his face. I said, "Damn it, Corky. Do you understand that I have chosen you of all the people in the world? I've chosen you to be my arch nemesis." And he kind of fucking slumped and like started to melt even more. And I'm like, "See, that's the shit I'm talking about right there. You're not worthy of being my fucking arch nemesis, because a motherfucker needs his arch nemesis to push him to be a better asshole. And you just simply are incapable of that, aren't you? I have to be able to rely on you and know that I have to be on top of my game every day, or else Corky's gonna fucking get the best of me. And if you're not up to that, then I guess I'm in the fucking market now for a new arch nemesis, you motherfucker." Tears are streaming down his cheeks at this point, and he's fumbling with the fucking trash bag, and he's really trying to not meet my gaze, because I think he knows he's let me down. I think he knows that in that moment, his failure is complete. I stare down into his disgusting, greasy, pockmarked face, standing there in that fucking gas station parking lot in front of God and everybody. I'm really reading Corky the Riot Act. I said, "Fuck you, Corky. Fuck you. This isn't all about you anymore. Okay, yeah, yes. You're gonna lose your job. Yes, you are going back to prison. Yes, you are gonna fucking lose your family. Yes, you are fucked. But what about me? Look what you've done to me now. This is about me now, Corky. I thought I could rely on you to be the spark that I needed every day to wake up and do my best, because I had to put on my game face every day in order to not be as big a piece of shit as Corky is. And then last time we spoke and you told me how you're improving your fucking life, it only spurred me on to achieve more. I've achieved more in my professional life. I've achieved more in my personal life. I've achieved more with my fucking podcast than I ever thought possible. And now, all in the name of trying to fucking live up to Corky and stay that much further ahead of you. Because I can't fucking have you surpassing me. Look at you. Look at what a fucking piece of shit you are. I can't have you showing personal growth and professional fucking development and working towards a fucking goal while I'm stagnating. What the fuck kind of arch nemesis would I be to you if I didn't try to fucking improve every single day?" And he looks at me and he goes, "I don't even know what an arch nemesis is." I said, "It doesn't fucking matter. Of course you don't know, you drug-addled piece of shit. You have no fucking idea. You have no base of knowledge. Probably never read a fucking book. You're everything that I'd hoped you were not, Corky. You're just a fucking piece of shit. There's no substance to you. You've got no fucking balls, man. Getting back on the shit at the first fucking opportunity. Fuck you. Now I gotta go find a new arch nemesis. Look what you've done to me now. We're never gonna fucking see each other again, Corky. I will never set foot back in this fucking gas station. You have ensured that I have no reason to ever come back here again. Good day, sir." And I spun on my heel and started walking away. He started to say something behind me, and I spun back around and I said good day, sir. spun back around, got in my fucking truck, and headed to the house. Fucking Corky. I'm so fucking sick of people on drugs. You know? It's like the word is out. Everybody knows what that shit does. How the fuck does anyone wake up one morning and be like, you know what, boys? Today's the day I try meth. People know what that shit does. And that kind of got me thinking. That interaction with Corky got me to thinking. In the season 2 premiere of Misanthrope Radio, the last episode that I put out, the entire first bit of that episode was me complaining about how everything takes so fucking long and how everything requires so many fucking words now to get anything accomplished. And I couldn't figure out what changed, what the fucking phenomenon was, why everyone is late. Nothing's on time. Nothing is efficient. Nothing is moving. And that interaction with Corky kind of fucking brought it all home for me. Everyone is on fucking drugs, except me. And I don't mean illicit substances. I'm not saying that everyone's on fucking meth or heroin or whatever. I'm not even saying that everybody's smoking weed. What I am saying, though, is that everyone is on something. Everyone's on fucking drugs except me. Whether it's meth, whether it's weed, whether it's alcohol, whether it's fucking heroin, whether it's mood stabilizers from their doctors or fucking random prescribed barbiturates or fucking opiates or something. Everyone's on fucking something except me. And I'm not going to say that that's entirely by choice. I don't know. I have never been offered any fucking barbiturates or opiates or mood stabilizers. If I ever was offered them, would I take them? I don't know. Probably not. But I think that's the genesis of a lot of our fucking problems, is everyone is on drugs. Except me. All right. I got to stop this bit. Let's go on to the next segment.
Join Bruce and Ken on The Weathered Report, where sharp takes, real conversation, and a dose of humor cut through the noise of the week. From classic cars to politics, culture, and the American spirit, no topic is off limits. Every episode brings fresh stories, lively discussion, and the kind of straight talk you won't hear anywhere else. Stay weathered, but never worn down. Catch Bruce and Ken every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively live on Rumble and YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Segment 2.
The leaves are starting to turn. There's a little bit of a chill in the air. The breeze is not quite as friendly as it was just last week. The days are getting shorter. We're just a couple weeks away from Halloween, so in a lot of small towns all over the United States, it's fall festival season. If you've never been to one of these events, you've come to the right place today. I was unfortunate enough to go to my local fall festival today. It's not something that I wanted to do, but I found myself there anyhow. And I figured, when in Rome, do Roman shit. So I figured I would go ahead and just try to soak in the fall festival experience and take on board everything the fall festival has to offer. Now, I usually hate this sort of thing. Not usually, I all the time hate this sort of thing. But I thought to myself, this would actually be a good bit for Misanthrope Radio one way or the other. If I go to the fall festival and I really enjoy it, then I can talk about how wonderful it was and how I bought some fucking designer soaps and how I talked to a guy who makes shit out of wood and then burns it with a torch to make it look, you know, burned. I thought maybe the fucking corn dogs have gotten better. Maybe they've changed the fucking grease that they fry the funnel cakes in this year. Maybe the jars of apple butter were actually canned correctly, so we're not all gonna fucking die of listeria. Maybe they'll even have little games there this year where you can throw darts at balloons and fucking pick up the ducklings going by in the little river and shit and win stuffed animals. Maybe I'll really fucking enjoy the fall festival this year, so I can come on here to Misanthrope Radio and tell you, goddamn, let me tell you what, man, you're really missing out if you don't get down there to your local fall festival, because it's a fucking hoot. Maybe that's what'll happen. Or, I thought, if it fucking sucks, like I just know in my soul that it's going to, that'll be a good bit for Misanthrope Radio too. Anyway, no matter how you slice it, Lorenzo taking a fucking trip through the fall festival in small town bumble fuck America is going to be a good bit for Misanthrope Radio. So I brought my notepad and I found a park bench located conveniently right on the city square. Now, fall festivals in small-town America are normally situated around the county courthouse in the county seat. This one is no different. No matter where you walked, north, south, east, or west of the county courthouse, there was booth after booth after booth after booth of people hawking wares, making food, trying to sell you coffee, basically just asking for donations, or trying to buddy up with you to get your vote in the next election. When I rolled up to the area fall festival, I had to park six blocks away. This is already starting off like shit. I had to park six fucking blocks away from what I knew to be the epicenter of all fall festivaldom. I get out and make the hike up there. Now, in fucking fairness, they did stop and offer me a ride on one of their little trams up to the frivolity. But I said no. I wanted to get the entire fucking fall festival experience, and that means a six-block trek through this dumpy fucking trash little town to get up to the center of what is the penultimate event for this shitbox little town in middle America. I get about two blocks away and I'm starting to see booths. Those little pop-up tents, people selling apple cider and people selling fucking shit made out of metal and people selling shit that they've sewed and people selling quilts and people selling little fucking customized hand warmers. People selling bags with fucking feed corn in them that they've sewed up and they said that you can microwave it and then it will be like a heating pad for, you know, 7 minutes. People offering free samples of cinnamon roasted pecans. But I'm not interested in any of that shit. I want to see if there's fucking amusements this year. That's what I want to see. I want to throw the fucking baseball at the fucking old school milk jugs. I want to try to win a fucking dog shit stuffed animal that cost me $8 of trying to get. I want to see if they've improved on what they had last year. I finally get to the fucking city square. The courthouse looming majestically in the background, beautiful oak trees, tall, old, 200-year oak trees, lining the sidewalks all around the courthouse. And on the street, and on both sides of the one-way street that goes all the way around the courthouse, are booths. Booth after booth after booth after booth of purveyors and service providers and local politicians, local businesses, people who've come from out of town, trying to sell you things that they've made with their own fucking hands. People selling apple butter and jams and jellies and honey made by bees on their own farms. People selling quilts and afghans. The first booth I hit up, I walked up to this lady who was selling homemade soaps. Now, this isn't your grandma's lye soap. No, we've moved past that. This fucking soap that this lady told me about, well, I'll just let her tell you herself.
Hi, and thank you for stopping by my booth.
What is it you sell here?
Well, as you can see from looking around you, I sell the area's greatest handmade soaps.
Handmade soap? Why is your soap any better than any other soap?
Well, clearly you haven't heard of me, Auntie B. I've been in business since 1973, making customized soaps out of goat's milk, platypus placenta, cream corn, and only the finest cultivated bison vagina.
You make soap out of buffalo pussy?
That, well, yes, but we prefer to call it bison vagina. It sounds a little more refined. But we've been making soap around these parts for over 50 years, and let me tell you, we do a damn good job.
I might check back in with you. Incidentally, how much is a bar of bison vagina soap?
Well, now, the bison vagina is our signature soap, and you're going to pay a pretty penny for that. For a bar of that bison vagina soap, you're going to pay no less than $12 a bar.
$12 a bar for fucking soap?
It's the best soap you can buy. It does wonders for your skin. Look at me. I'm 78 years old. I don't look a day over 50.
Okay, well, I'll probably stop back by.
You do that. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock today.
Jesus Christ, that was fucking intense. Bison vagina soap. Have you ever heard anything like that? I was so blown away by buffalo pussy soap that I forgot to fucking ask her about the platypus placenta. What the fuck is that about? All right, let's go to the next booth here. Hello, sir. What is it you're selling here?
Well, I'm glad you stopped by. Haven't had a whole lot of people stop in today. Yesterday was crazy and Friday was absolute pandemonium, but today it's been kind of slow.
Well, I'm glad I stopped by, too. What is it you do here exactly?
Well, frankly, to be honest, we make shit out of shit.
Come again?
I'm a cattle farmer, and one of the things that I have plenty of besides cattle is shit. The only thing that I have on my farm that outnumbers my cows is the shit that they leave in my fields. And I was walking around out there one day and I thought, you know, if there's just a way that I could monetize this shit, I could probably really make some money. Because, you know, we're getting less on the hoof for fucking cows now than we ever have before. And I was thinking, goddamn, there's got to be something I can do with this shit. So what I do is I watch my cows, and when one of them takes a fucking steamy, grassy shit, I let it sit there for about a good hour, 2 hours maybe, and then I'll go out with my fucking snow shovel, and I'll lovingly scoop it up off the ground, trying to preserve the integrity of that loaf.
And then what do you do with it?
Well, then, as soon as I get it transported safely, I'll take it up in the house and throw it on the table there, and Mama will spray it down with some lacquer and basically preserve it in that condition. So from that cow's asshole until the time it's preserved is normally less than 3 hours. That is some real, honest-to-God, fresh cow shit right there.
Okay, well, what the fuck am I going to do with that?
Well, then we take that cow shit and we turn it into beautiful works of art. See that there? That's cow shit wall clock. That over there is a cow shit coffee table. We've even got a whole line of serving dishes over there.
I see that, dude. What the fuck is that about?
What we'll do is we'll pile about 4 or 5 of them fucking cow patties up and then we'll cover them in epoxy and we'll put them on a lathe. And we'll take and we'll carve that epoxied cow shit out into a fucking beautiful salad bowl that you can use for generations.
All right, well, thank you.
Hold on, I got one more thing to show you. This is something I'm real proud of. Every now and then, and we don't have them very often because, you know, if you know anything about cattle farming, you know you got a whole bunch of fucking cows and you got a whole bunch of fucking steers, but you typically only have one bull, and that one bull is in charge of fucking all them cows and getting them pregnant and keeping your fucking herd alive.
Yeah, I get it. The concept of one bull. Yeah, I understand how that works.
So a bull every now and then, I'd say a bull, you got about a good 10 years. 10 years out of a bull before he's just fucked out. You know what I mean? He's just fucked out. He can't do it anymore. He just can't fuck not a second longer. Well, he goes to market, to be honest with you. But before we take him to market, we'll fucking go ahead and we'll pull out his old fucking pecker, that old well-used rod that he's been ramming in these fucking ladies for all these years. We'll take that pecker and we'll cut her off right at the base and then we'll cauterize the wound. That right there, sir. That right there is a rarity. You're not going to find many of them. You're sure as hell not going to find on anywhere else at this here fucking festival.
Okay, dude, but what is it?
That, sir, is a cane made from the penis of my last bull, the one we just took to market this spring. That bull's name was Anthrax, because he was like a fucking plague on them fucking cows out in that field. We'd turn him loose out there, and he was just smashing. He'd be fucking wrecking pussy all day and night. Them cows would be screaming, and he'd be stomping and roaring, and be in the fucking middle of the night. He'd be out there just rutting them. That penis right there breeds over 300 cows a year, and that cow penis cane right there can be yours today for $125.
All right. Well, thank you. I will circle back around later on, and if Anthrax's cock is still hanging on the wall, I might buy it. Okay, moving on. That was fucking weird. There's a group of ladies up here I gotta walk around, but let's see if we can get close enough to hear what they're fucking yapping about.
Well, I told my Billy don't even bother trying to date that chopped whore. There ain't nothing good can come from that. That pussy's so fucking tore up it'd be like throwing a hot dog down a hallway. Oh, Cynthia, Jesus Christ, what? I'm just being honest.
Have you ever noticed that when somebody says I'm just being honest, what they're really trying to say is I realize I was just being a cunt there, but you have to forgive me for being a cunt because I was telling you what's really on my mind. What a fucking odd phenomenon. That's the fucking white people version of saying I'm just keeping it real. When you've just said something super fucked up or super insensitive, and you follow it up with what? I'm just being honest. That doesn't mean you're off the hook for being a cunt. Fuck off. Okay, back to the drama.
I don't understand these girls nowadays, though. They'll have 18, 19-year-old girls with body counts of 45, 50 boys. And my Billy wants to date that nasty trash hoe. I told him no. I told him no way in hell. I told him absolutely not. Do not walk up in my house with that fucking gutter whore. You tell him, Cynthia, he's got to have standards. He's got to have goddamn standards. And that boy's got a good job down there to the Jiffy Lube. He can do well better than Chrissy. That's what I told him. I told him he could do way better than nasty trash-ass old Chrissy. Hopefully he listens to me. That boy ain't listened to me once in his entire life.
The phenomenon of loudly gossiping fucking women will never cease to amaze me. You know what I'm noticing, though? The amount of men walking around this fucking square, arms laden in shit, kids hanging all over them, pushing a fucking baby carriage, while their wife moves from booth to booth like they're on a fucking battlefield. Every one of these dudes, and I've seen a lot of them, there's a lot of them here today, every one of these dudes look fucking dead. Like they've literally been killed. It's just nobody's had the decency to bury them yet. Strolling along here, I don't think I'm going to keep you much longer because, to be completely honest, I'm losing interest in this bit. But one thing I got to hit up before we fucking transition out of this bit and into the fucking closing of this edition of Misanthrope Radio is this phenomenon right here. At every fucking fall festival I've been to in the last 5 years, I don't know what's happened, but shit has changed. And this is what's changed. Can you tell by listening to the music, before I even get super close, can you tell by listening to the music what the fuck that is? That's praise music. Yeah, super Christian praise music, not even fucking Christian rock. I've got problems with Christian rock. Listen, I don't have any fundamental issues with religion in general. What I've never understood is why does the music have to suck in order for it to fucking be Jesus friendly? I've never really understood that. Christian rock by itself is dog shit. I'm told that there's Christian country music. I can't imagine how bad that is. But this is praise music. And if you haven't heard of it, I'm going to give you a sample of that right now.
We're so proud of you for coming here today to the Fall Festival. Step up here if you've got a testimony to give. I'll give mine shortly. I want everyone to bask in the glory of the Lord with me here today, Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul from down at the United Methodist Church. Praise music. Sing it, baby. Sing it. That's my wife back there. I won her at a card game in Singapore. That's absolutely right. She was one of them women of ill repute before she got with me, and she's since given herself over to the Lord and gives herself over to me occasionally. Let's not be ridiculous here, okay? But she's given herself, her soul, over to the Lord, but that pussy belongs to me, doesn't it, baby? You know it does. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, at that time when I won her in that card game, I was a sinner. I was a sinner of the highest degree. Misdemeanoring, misogynating, playing poker, playing cards all over the world, doing drugs, fucking around with Yakuzas. And then the Lord spoke to me shortly after I won her in that card game in Singapore. The Lord spoke to me and said, Paul, what the fuck are you doing? And I said, well, Lord, I don't know what the hell I'm doing either. Why don't you tell me? And he said, I don't know what the hell you were doing, but I can tell you what you are going to be doing from now on. You are going to give your life over to the service of me, and you are going to use all of the powers that you have assembled and amassed over your time of sin and misdemeanoring, and you're going to use that to bring people under my umbrella. And I said, Lord, fucking A, that sounds pretty good. And he said, well, let that language go one time, Paul, but you cuss at me again, I'm going to fuck you up. And I said, okay, yes, Lord, I got you. And ever since that time, me and my wife, who was a whore in Singapore, I can't say that enough, we have been spreading the word of the Lord from coast to coast, nation to nation, state to state, festival to festival. And that's what we're here to do today, bring you the comfort and joy of the Lord. Not playing the devil's music, no. We're playing inspirational music, praise music. It's not very good to listen to, I'll admit. My band's not very good. She's not a great singer. She's got an ass on her like a 12-year-old boy. That's why I keep her around, and the fact that she's given her life over to the Lord. Don't get that fucked up. But come on up here today and get baptized. Pastor Paul, right over there at the United Methodist Church. Come on by and see us anytime you like. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Paul, from the local United Methodist Church, and his wife, who used to be a prostitute in Singapore, up there leading the fucking praise music at the local fall festival. I hope you enjoyed the nickel tour of the fall festival. I didn't even make it to the fucking corn dog stand or the place where they make funnel cakes. And I didn't get to talk to the fucking standard issue veteran-owned coffee place down the road. But I think I gave you the highlights of every fall festival everywhere. And I'm telling you, from me, you don't have to go. I went for you. And I brought you along with me. That's going to pretty much do it for this episode of Misanthrope Radio. I just really hope you dig the show. It sounds like such a fucking simple thing to say, but I can't say it much plainer than that. I just kind of hope you dig what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to be serious all the time. I'm not trying to sway your opinions on things or fucking get you to buy any kinds of fucking products or sell you a fucking service. I'm not trying to sell you on a fucking ideology or a dream. I just want to fucking entertain you in a weird sort of way for 30, 45 minutes at a time, once every week or two. If I can give you a little dose of unreality every week or two, then I've achieved my goal. All right. Thank you again for coming along for this episode of Misanthrope Radio. Until next time.